السلام عليك زين الأنبياء، السلام عليك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Welcome to our daily Roha in Ramadan. And inshallah ta'ala, we are going to continue discovering some of the meanings that will inshallah increase our relationship with the Quran and to make it stronger and much more intimate. And we've been discussing thus far in the past two lectures the outward etiquettes, the adab zahira that you and I need to have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. We've spoke first about the hal al-qari', the state of the one reciting. And then we spoke yesterday about the miqdar al-qira'ah, the amount that someone recites. And really the take home there was we need to make the Quran a matter of great importance in our life and to make it a priority whereby which we arrange other things around it. And this is what we can glean from the intense connection that the people who came before us had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. So we had said that there are 10 etiquettes that Hujjat al-Islam Imam al-Ghazali treats. And now we have reached the third, al-thalith, fi wajh al-qisma. Now he's going to talk about dividing the Qur'an in different parts. And this, of course, is going to relate to the etiquette that preceded, i.e. how much, the amount that we're reciting. Because now we're speaking about how we're going to divide up what we recite on a daily basis. And he says about that, أَمَّا مَنْ خَتَمَ فِي الْأُسْبُعْ مَرَّةِ. So he's getting back to what he advised previously, which is to do a khatam a week. But he's saying, for who's doing this a khatam a week, فَيَقْسِمُ الْقُرْآنَ سَبْعَةَ أَحْزَابٍ. He's going to divide the Qur'an into seven parts. And again, like we've been saying throughout, even if this is unreachable for us on a regular basis, we should try to do this at least once in our life. Try once in your life to do a khatam in 7 days, just once in your life, even if only once. And try to implement what he's saying here in terms of how it was divided. And he said that we know that the companions were known to have divided the Quran, for those that were doing a khatam a week, into seven different parts, seven ahzab that they would then recite. And so it's narrated, for instance, that Uthman radiallahu anhu is that he would begin his khatam of the Qur'an Laylatul Jum'ah, so the night before the day of Jum'ah, and he would begin, of course, with the Fatiha and recite from Surah Al-Baqarah to Surah Al-Ma'idah. And then on Saturday, Laylatul Sibt, he would recite from Al-An'am to Surah Hud. And then Laylatul Ahad, Sunday, he would recite from Surah Yusuf to Maryam. And then Laylatul Ithnain, Monday, from Taha to Surah Al-Qasas. And then Laylatul Thulatha, so Tuesday from Ankabut to Sa'd. And then on Wednesday night from Surah Az-Zumar ila Rahman. And then he would finish his khatam the night after that and recite from the remaining part to the Surah An-Nas. And that he then mentions that Ibn Mas'ud used to divide it slightly differently. So they had different ways that they would divide the various surahs that they were reciting into that seven parts that they would recite based upon the days of the week. And we will get into how this relates to what are known as ajza' and ahzab, that we are the terms that we commonly hear nowadays. So then he says that it's said that the ahzab of the Quran are seven. And so then this is Imam Al-Ghazali is giving us another way of breaking down these seven parts. He said that the first part is the first four chapters, including the Fatiha. And then the second is five chapters, and then seven chapters, and then nine chapters, and then 11 chapters, and then 13 chapters. And then that takes us up to Surah Qaf. And then the seventh hizb then is from Surah Al-Qaf all the way to the end of the Qur'an. And that there is a narration and that indicates is that one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, some of the companions were asked, كَيْفُ يُحَزِّبُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. How did they recite the Qur'an in different parts? How did they divide it? And this was that was mentioned 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13, and then the Hizb al-Mufassal, which is from Surah Al-Qaf, all the way into the end. So this is the way that they would do it. And notice this is different than the ajza that we oftentimes read, that sometimes will stop in the middle of a chapter. So this is what he mentions here, and he keeps it fairly brief in terms of how to divide Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. And inshallah there will be so the other thing that's important here to note here is that however it is that we divide it, we want to be consistent in whatever it is that we are doing. And these are helpful ways to help us be consistent, and that he'll carry over into the next etiquette, which is about writing the Quran, other aspects that relate to dividing the Quran in different parts. So we'll take this next etiquette and finish that discussion. So the fourth etiquette is fil kitba, writing the Quran. And the knowledge of rasam, that is orthography, is one of the knowledges of the Quran. I remember in Mauritania, in order for them to get any ijazah in the Quran, they not only had to memorize the book of Allah Ta'ala, they also had to study ilm al-rasm, orthography, how to write the Quran. And they had to study at least one of the proper ways of reciting, one of the qira'at of tajweed. So they had to learn a valid recitation of tajweed. And usually they would study warsh and qalun in Mauritania. And so in order for them to get any ijazah in the Quran, they had to take those steps. And look at the beauty. If they, any one of these individuals who received this ijazah, would be able to write out the Quran from the Fatiha to Surah An-Nas completely without mistake. And in an era where that in times for pre-printing press, this was something that was of the utmost importance and remains important. And this is again a key part of preservation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, that we have so many people on the face of this earth still to this day that can recite the Quran completely from beginning to end, and at the same time can also write it out. This is a blessing from Allah Ta'ala and one of the great signs that his book has been preserved. And sometimes I think as Muslims we might take that for granted a little bit and tend to forget the implications of that, because the implications are great. This means that our deen has been preserved. And this means that the Quran that we're reciting was the Quran that was revealed to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not a single letter has been changed. That is absolutely amazing. And this enables this deen to still be alive in this day, such that when you and I connect to it, the efficacy of this deen is very real, i.e. that when we put these religious teachings into practice, there's tahqiq, there's realization. It leads to closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we should never ever look down upon people, as tends to be the case in some cultures in the Muslim world, for people that spend their life memorizing the Quran and focusing on how to recite Quran and teaching other people the Quran, even if they don't know the detailed meanings and they're not a mufassir where they can comment on the meanings. The very fact that they are preserving that the Quran in this particular way, and they're teaching how it is recited, and they're teaching that and helping people memorize it, this is of the utmost importance. And if you ask anyone who knows anything about linguistics, they will tell you, once a language ceases to be spoken, it becomes dead. And once it ceases to be spoken, you can never ever really pronounce it the way that it was once pronounced. At that point, it is a matter of supposition. And this has happened to languages, and they've tried to pronounce it in a way that they thought that it was pronounced previously, but you can't know definitively. And one of the things that we were studying earlier today in a reading group we have relates to all of the different what are known as makharij, the points of articulation. And one of the students here was explaining that his teacher of Tajweed was telling him all of these amazing things about these letters and correcting him as he's reciting them. And it's almost like a diagnostic test. And he was saying that it's also like speech therapy, depending upon someone's background, because even people that are of Arab origin, different cultures and different dialects will cause them to find difficulty in some letters more than others. And depending upon what part of the Muslim world you're from, where they would speak Arabic, or if you're from a non-Arabic speaking country, you'll have different challenges within relation to the different letters. And how there's different techniques whereby which all of the letters can be taught to be recited in the proper way depending upon someone's background. And it almost is like speech therapy, where then you're getting your mouth used to pronouncing each letter of the Quran in the way that it was meant to be pronounced. What a blessing. And anyone that's had that experience sitting before a great scholar of Tajweed, it's very humbling, because usually you don't get past the Fatiha. And you think that you know how to recite the Fatiha, and you realize that you're making mistakes even in the Fatiha. And even if you're not making blatant mistakes, there's still plenty of room for improvement how you could pronounce these blessed letters of the Quran and Kareem. So we should take this into consideration and be very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. And this is something that we need to bring here to these lands in which we're living, where we are teaching the Quran and we're teaching tajweed of the Quran and how to recite it properly and the various sciences of the Quran, and of course including eventually the meanings of the Quran. And when we do all of this, that inshallah ta'ala, it will facilitate for people in these lands to establish a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. So this fourth etiquette is about kitbah. It is about writing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. And this could be if we're actually writing a copy, if we're a copyist or of the Quran, or that this could be if we are actually making notes and writing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book on a piece of paper or something. And so he says here, يُسْتَحَبُّ تَحْسِينُ كِتَابَةَ الْقُرْآنِ وَتَبْيِينُ. It's recommended that we adorn the way that we recite, we write Allah Ta'ala's book. تَحْسِين, we write beautifully, okay, as opposed to the sloppily. And تَبْيِينُ, making sure that the words are clear and distinct. The letters are clear and distinct. And وَلَا بَتْسْ بِالنَّقْطِ وَالْعَلَامَاتِ بِالْحُمْرَ وَغَيْرِهَا أو بِالنُّقَطِ. So it's fine, he's saying, that Imam al-Ghazali, to use a red pen to put the dots on the letters and the vowels on the letters, i.e. the diacritics. And if you, excuse me, look online, and you can see pictures of a mushaf where there's no dots. And people were very adept. They were able to read that very easily with a very small amount of training. And then at a certain point, in order that people to help people not make mistakes, it was permitted to write some of the dots in that red. So you'll actually see pictures where the letters themselves are in black, and then the dots, the diacritics, are in red. And then that there was growth that took place after that, where eventually then you and I oftentimes are reciting from a very particular type of mushaf. And that has a whole history in and of itself that we won't be able to cover in a lecture like this, but there's a history to all of that. But this is his advice, is that this is something that is okay for us to do in order to protect people from making mistakes and how it is that they write Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. Now, he then goes to start in, because in the context of writing, it's closely related to the wajh al-qisma, how it's divided. And he mentions some of the early scholars from the tabi'een, al-Hasan al-Basri ibn Sirin, is that they actually did not like the copies of the Quran being written in parts. So like the Akhmas in five parts, or in 10 parts, or in ajza, in parts of a certain amount of number. They actually that didn't like this, and this was their particular opinion. And then there's other scholars who said that they felt that it was makruh to write the diacritics in red. And so some of them would say jarridul Quran is that to recite the Quran without these red dots and the diacritics on it. But Imam al-Ghazali then goes into a discussion, because keep in mind, he was one of the great scholars of fiqh, and how he presents that position, and there was intentions that they had behind that, because they feared the door that would open up, and these ulama certainly had reasons that were not related to their caprice for that. But then Imam al-Ghazali's opinion is what he mentioned first, that this was something that was okay to facilitate the easy recitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. And then he takes the opportunity to mention the discussion to speak about an affair that is muhdath, that is, that a new matter that didn't take place in the early period. And what he says about this, even though that this was something that wasn't done in the early period, he says that it's a good thing. فَكَمْ مِنْ مُحْدَثٍ حَسَنٍ. How many new things are actually good? And he then mentions the example of the Iqamat al-Jama'at fi al-Tarawih of Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab, and how he gathered people to pray Tarawih during his time, radiallahu anhu, and how this was a bid'ah hasana, this was a recommended innovation. This was something that wasn't done during the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and that the Prophet came out to pray only a few days with the companions initially. So this was a bid'ah in the sense, but it was a good bid'ah, it was a bid'ah hasana. And in the Muwatta of Imam Malik, Sayyidina Umar is reported to have said, Ni'matil bid'atu hadhihi. What a great bid'ah this is, what a blessed innovation this is, indicating that there are clearly categories of bid'ah. And this is mentioned by the scholars who came before us, the likes of Imam Shafi'i, where bid'ah is classified into different categories depending upon the nature of that particular innovation. And the commentator Imam al-Zubidi on the Ihya mentions a convenient way for us to understand what that criterion would be for a bid'ah to be permissible or that even recommended. And he says that in al-bid'ah al-mubaha huwa ma shahida bi husni ahlu al-shar' aslu al-shar' aw iqtadathu maslaha tandafa biha mafsada. So what is a permissible innovation? It is one that there is some foundation for that particular matter in the sacred law. So there's a foundation for it already in the sacred law, or there is a particular maslaha, benefit in doing it, that will ward off some type of harm, some type of mafsada. And so when it comes clear in terms of making the marks and the dots on the letters red, the maslaha, their benefit there is to assist people in reading Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. The mafsada, the harm being warded off, is people mispronouncing the verses. So this is considered to be a good bid'ah. Now, and then he mentions some other positions there that go into a little bit more detail, where some of the scholars say is that I wouldn't put the dots myself, but I would read from a mushaf that had them. Then he mentions a little bit about the history of it and how it came in stages and what they first focused on. And he actually says here is that they first started to put the dots on the ba and the ta. And then after that, eventually, that they added that different that diacritics, until eventually that we reached the point where we have the Mustahif that you and I recite from today. So that's the fourth etiquette, is how we write the Quran. So if we ever write the Quran, we want to do so beautifully, with nice penmanship, good handwriting, and that in a very clear and distinct fashion. And then the fifth etiquette is what he calls a tartil. And Allah says in the Quran, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا, and recite the Quran in a slow and distinct manner. Tartil is reciting the Quran in a slow and distinct manner. And we also have the word tajweed, and ilm tajweed, the science of tajweed, is a science that is studied. to learn how it is to properly recite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. And then we will come to know that there are different levels of acceptable recitation. But tartil relates closely to this idea of tajweed, in that it's reciting the Quran slowly and distinctly. And no matter how fast it is that we're reciting Allah Ta'ala's book, we still need to recite it slowly and distinctly. And we need to give every letter, ideally, its haqq. Give every letter its right when you're reciting it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. And as we improve in tajweed, we will learn some of the other subtleties as well that relate to that. And so, that at-tartiya, what does he say about this? Huwa al-mustahab fi hayatul Qur'an. So that this is recommended in terms of how we recite the Qur'an. لِنَّا سَنُبَيِّنْ أَنَّ الْمَقْصُوبِ مِنِ غَرَى التَّفَكُّرِ. Because what we're going to explain is the purpose of reciting the Qur'an is tafakkur, reflection, pondering the meanings, deliberating the meanings, thinking deeply about the meanings. This is the purpose of recitation. وَالتَّرْتِيلْ مُعِينٌ عَلَيْهِ. And reciting distinctly and slowly, clearly, assists you in reflection. And so this is something that you and I all have to consider. And it is a good thing to look for someone who recites the Quran beautifully, in the masajid and so forth. But we shouldn't just only want to hear a beautiful recitation of the Quran. One of the purposes of reciting the Quran beautiful, yes, is to give the Quran its haqq, but also for you and I to reflect deeply upon it. And I think there are two extremes that we oftentimes find in our community regarding this. There are those who, if someone doesn't have an extremely beautiful recitation, won't even ever consider them to be an imam or to lead the prayer. That's almost like their only criterion of all is if the recitation is beautiful. And that's obviously one extreme. There's other considerations you want to take into consideration as well. And then on the other side of the spectrum is where you have people who that don't give the Quran its proper haqq, and to that recite it in the way that it should. مَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. Whoever doesn't adorn his recitation beautifully, that of the Quran, is not from us. So this is something that we should do. We should strive to recite the Quran beautifully and maintain that balance. We learn the science of tajweed. We continue to recite better and better as we progress through life. And at the same time, we don't let our focus be on the tajweed eventually. At first, you have to focus to get it right. But then after you get used to the recitation, the purpose of tajweed and tartil is so that you and I can reflect upon the meanings. So there are some people that become so preoccupied with the recitation of the Quran that they forget to actually reflect deeply upon the meanings, and that is an excess, of course. And what we want is the balance. Tartil, reciting slowly and distinctly, helps you that reflect upon the meanings of Allah Ta'ala's book. And then Imam Ghazali says, for this reason, Salama, the blessed wife of the Prophet ﷺ, she described the recitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being a qira'a mufassara, qira'atan mufassaratan harfan harfa. It is a recitation that was mufassara, it was clear, lucid, harfan harfan, and distinct. It was clear and distinct. And you could hear every letter, you could pick up everything that the Prophet ﷺ was reciting. And there's no doubt, no one had as beautiful recitation as our Prophet ﷺ. Think about the most beautiful reciters that you could possibly imagine that you've ever heard. And just imagine them, what it would have been like to have prayed behind the one to whom the Quran was revealed, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are some people who are gifted to actually hear the recitation of the Prophet ﷺ. And then there are some people who have been gifted that are then known to have recited with the recitation that was close to that of the Prophet ﷺ. And among those that they mentioned is Habib Ahmed bin Hassan al-Attas, who had an incredibly beautiful recitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. So then that Ibn Abbas says, and this is again about tartil, reciting slowly and distinctly. He said, for me to recite Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran, so the second and third chapter of the Qur'an, urattiluhuma, in a slow and distinct fashion, wa atadabbaruhuma, and reflect deeply upon them, ahab ilayya min an aqra al-Qur'ana kulluhu hadrama, is that more beloved to me than for me to recite the Qur'an so quickly that you can't make out the words that I'm reciting. Hadrama. It's almost like babble. You can't pick up what it is that they're saying. And I remember one of my teachers in Mauritania, Marabi Ahmed Fahl, when I asked him about reciting with Tajweed, he ended up saying that tadabburu ayatan khayru min kathir min al-khatamat. To really reflect deeply upon one verse of the Qur'an is better than many complete readings of Allah Ta'ala's book. So tadabbur is really important. And so we have to balance everything that was said in the previous etiquette of amount with this. And one of the ways that we can do that, as I've heard from our teachers, is Muhammad Al-Ghazali mentioned having two different khatams, and from one in the morning, one in the evening, and that was for those he was encouraging to do, they're doing two khatams a week, which is a lot. But another way of doing this is that you have, for instance, a khatam, and this is really what I would encourage anyone that can recite the Quran fairly well, I would really encourage them to do a juz a day, like at least a juz a day. And then what you can do is, you can have a khatam where you're doing a juz a day. And then you can have another khatam where you are doing a page a day. And then you can have another khatam where you're doing a verse a day. And so what you end up doing then is, with the juz a day, you're reciting a little bit more quickly. With the page a day, you're reflecting a little bit more deeply. And then with the verse a day, you're reflecting in the deepest level. And so you're doing that one khatam that you're doing, that one khatam is you're doing on a monthly basis. The next khatam is going to take you a little bit more time, and then that other khatam, you might die not having finished it, but you started. So it's also a very helpful way of doing it, is breaking it down as such. Now, and then we also have another statement from Sayyidina Ibn Abbas. He says that لِأَنْ أَقْرَأْ إِذَا زُزِلَتْ وَالْقَارِعْ أَتَّدَبْرُهُمَا أَحَبْ إِلَيَّ مَنَنْ أَقْرَأْ الْبَقْرَ عَلِي إِمْرَانْ تَهْذِيرًا. He said, for me too, that recite Surah إِذَا زُزِلَتْ and Al-Qari'ah, and reflect deeply upon those meanings, is more beloved to me than for me to recite Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran too quickly, to the point where I'm not giving each letter its right. وَسُئِلَ مُجَاهِدٌ أَنْ رَجُلَيْنِ دَخَلَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ فَكَانَ قِيَامُهَا وَاحِدًا إِلَّا أَنَّ أَحَدُهُمَا قَرَأَ الْبَقَرَةَ فَقَطْ وَقَرَأَ الْآخَرُ الْقُرْآنَ كُلَّهُ فَقَارَهُمَا فِي الْأَجْرِ سَوَاءٌ. And that Mujahid, one of the great early Salaf, who comment on the Quran, he was asked about two people in prayer. And one of them, they were both standing. And one of them recited Surah Al-Baqarah. It says, only. Yani only Surah Al-Baqarah. And the other one did an entire khatam. And he said, they have the same reward. And so we don't want to forget the reward that we get for reflecting deeply upon the verses is another type of reward that we have to balance with the reward that we get from recitation of the Quran. And then he does want to make, in closing, a point to clarify. He says that tartil, reciting slowly and distinctly, is recommended not only for the reason of tadabbur, not only for the reason of reflecting upon the meanings. He says, because the ajami, the non-Arab, that doesn't fully understand the meanings of the Quran, it's still recommended for him to recite the Quran with tartil. And because this is closer to respect of the Quran and honoring it in the way that it should, and it's ashaddu ta'thiran fil qalb. When someone recites slowly, distinctly, beautifully, it has a stronger impact upon the heart than reciting too quickly or reciting in a hasty fashion. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with these etiquettes and bless us to be able to give the Quran its haq outwardly and inwardly, and to learn to recite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book in a way that is pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala find a nice balance, bless us all to find a nice balance of what we can be consistent with of reciting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, and then increase in that as we get older and closer to meeting Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala bless us in these first 10 days of Ramadan, Ya Arhamar Rahmeen, and to have mercy upon us and forgive all of our sins, Ya Rabbil Alameen, and to give us the greatest of this world and the next. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sallam, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.